Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
You heard this morning from Matthew chapter 9, and likely we're going to end the service with that passage. But if you would, right now, go to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 18. Gospel of Luke and chapter 18. Without Christ, life is a struggle in futility. In Chippewa County, Ontario, right across the river, every year hundreds of people are born and hundreds of people die. Some without ever hearing a clear presentation of the gospel. Living and dying all around us, some in spiritual fog, an empty vacuum of activity that we call life. I hope you heard what I just said. What many of us call life is nothing but an empty vacuum of activity. Christ is life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We have one shot at this life. Some of us will get 70, some more, some less. We didn't make our lives count for God. Some of you heard that Deb's mom, my mother-in-law, went home to be with the Lord yesterday morning. Corrine Fountain. Corrine developed a great and deep love and faith in God. It was more and more manifest as the years went by. Not a time I would spend any time I would see her except that she would somehow bring into the conversation in the last several years, I just want to go home. What's God waiting for? And it was real. It wasn't words. I want to go home. Well, yesterday morning, Debbie and her sister actually were in the room when she went home to glory. And it was a precious time. I wrote the words down because I didn't want to get them wrong. Just before she died and went into eternity, my wife was holding her, and her breathing was getting shallow. And Debbie said, just go on, Mom. Just go. And she said, I see him. He's here. I'm going home. I have to go. That's what she said. I have to go. And her head fell on my wife's shoulder, and she was gone. And the last 4 years, maybe as many as half a dozen, because time flies by to old people, I have heard and been a part of many a saint's homegoing. And it's been good over and over again. There may be some here in the auditorium this morning. I'm about to get to my message. You're afraid of death. You're afraid of what this life has to offer even tomorrow. Somehow in the course of this message, I want to explain to you for the second time since June the 1st that religion is not enough. If all you have is religion, you're going to the devil's hell. You say, man, I'm a Baptist. If that's all you've got, if that's what you're hanging your hat on, I'm a member of Fundamental Baptist Church. That's not enough. Religion is not the answer. I want you to know that. In Luke and chapter 18, Jesus here preaches against religion. There are 4,200 religions in the world. That means there are 4,200 ways man has invented to go to God's heaven, and none of them are right. None of them. Jesus said, I am the way. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Religion, I said this earlier in the summer, midsummer, religion is destroying America. Religion is giving all kinds of false hope to millions. I'm telling you, of all ages of people, there are people all over America. They got their religion. That's all they have. And they're going to come to a screeching halt in hell with their religion. If you don't have Christ, if he is not the Christ of the Bible, if he is not your personal Savior, if you have never been born again by the Holy Spirit into the family of God, then you're going to the devil's hell unless you get that turned around. And I want to explain how you can do that here this morning. Religion gives nothing but self or false hope. Religion without Christ, the Christ of the Bible, and his message, the gospel, is empty ritual. Before we read what Jesus said, let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, that's a good way to start this. 2 Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 1. I'd like to read verses 1 and then verses 5 through 8. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. You're familiar with that verse. Verse 5 speaks of the last days and said they would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Those kinds of false teachers, they are false teachers. You turn around, turn away from them. They have a form of godliness. They have a little ritual. They have rituals that they go through. That's a form. That's not reality. That is a form of godliness. And here's what ends up happening. This is what's wrong with ritual. People start trusting the ritual. They start trusting and putting, I've had communion, or I've been baptized, or I've had this, or I've done that, or and they're trusting in a ritual. It's empty. It's a vacuum. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. How many churches, even this morning, how many churches people have gathered for worship and they sing some good words out of some good hymns, and then a man gets up and gives a little lecture, and then the organ plays and the service is over? That's a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Back here in 1 Timothy, verse 6 says, For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds and reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. That's really not where I wanted to go with that. But at any rate, that's speaking there to the false teachers. Let's go back to Matthew, or rather Luke, in chapter 18. I want to teach you what this parable that Jesus taught. I want you to understand what Jesus is saying here. And you need to understand this too. Jesus scorched the Pharisees again and again. Jesus, listen to this, the Messiah was anti-religion. The Messiah, he saw the heart of man. He said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It's all empty ritual and motion is all it is. And they got a religion, and that's all it is. He preached against the Pharisees. He preached against the Sadducees. He said, I've come for the sinner. I've come for the one that needs the Savior. And religion has a dumbing, numbing effect on people. That's what happens with ritual. You go through the same thing over and over again, and before long you become desensitized to the truths of God. And that's why ritualism is so wrong. And by the way, formalism kills evangelism. Never been a revival meeting with a formal church service. That's not how it happens. Formalism, Dr. John R. Rice, I first heard him say that. I've never forgotten it. Formalism kills evangelism. There's no life there. That is not reality. Verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, for they were righteous, that they trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now it's good. He's going to talk about two men going to the temple. Going to the church is good. Going to worship is good. But some of the proudest people in America go to church. I mean proud. I mean really full of themselves. It says here in this verse that these men, and many that were going there, these are the guys he was preaching to, trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Self-righteousness is unrighteousness. They were trusting in themselves, and they had a better than thou kind of religion. This is what their religion consisted of. I'm a good guy. I tithe twice a week. I fast rather twice a week. I tithe of all my possessions. I tithe of all of my earnings. I'm a good guy. I'm a righteous man. And I'm better than that person over there. If the kind of religion you have is the kind of religion that makes you feel good, and there are people like this, because you can see sin in other people's lives and that makes you feel better than them, you don't have Christ. You are self-righteous. You might be better than me. You might be more righteous than I am. But here's the problem with having that as a premise of your life. I am not the standard. God is the standard. God's book is the standard. If your Christian life consists of, and finding out everybody else's problems, and that makes you feel good, you relish that, something's wrong. You got to get your heart right. This is what Jesus, this exactly, now I don't see the word Facebook in this passage, but I mean, it's got to be there somewhere. And he spake this parable unto certain, which these are the people he was preaching to. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. If my eternity depended on the righteousness of Tim Rader, I'm doomed. But it doesn't. It's the righteousness of Christ. Boy, that's a beautiful thing. Verse 10 says, two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, he was preaching to Pharisees, and the other a publican. Pharisee. The Pharisees of Jesus' day were the religious elite. They were orthodox in their Judaism. They were morally superior to everyone that was around them. I would classify them as Bible fundamentalists without Christ. They had all the outward trappings of a Bible fundamentalist. If you were to fast forward them to the year 2016, these are the people that drive up to the church house in nice cars, wear nice clothes, and carry a big Bible into church. And they got a big smile on their face, and their hair is always combed. They sit in the pew, they know all the songs, they sing all the songs, but they're without Christ. They got, if that describes you, by the way, what you have is a religion, and you need Jesus Christ. These are people that were self-righteous. They trusted in their own righteousness, and they'll tell you everything they've done, and they're proud of it. And they compare themselves with other people that are lesser to make themselves feel good. Jesus was sick of that kind of religion. That's why he spoke to them face to face. He said, I'll tell you a story. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a publican. Again, the Pharisee, the religious elite. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. It's interesting how Jesus words this. Even though the Pharisee used the term God in his prayer, he wasn't praying to God. He loved to hear his own voice. And he loved to tell people out loud, even though he pretended to be talking to God above, how good he was. He said, Jesus said he prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. God, I'm so good. God, you sure are lucky to have me and all these people to hear my righteous prayer right now. Self-righteousness, again, is unrighteousness. Repentance plus faith, that equals true righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. And all over America, there are people this morning performing empty ritual, and I mean even in Baptist churches. You get yourself a little... We call it, what do we call this? Church bulletin. If it was a ball game, you'd call it a program, right? Okay, we're going to sing 125 first. I'm going to get that ready. Then somebody's going to read something, and then we're going to sing number 250. I'm going to get that ready. And it's a program. This is what it is. Oh, and then the preacher's got a little sermonette right here. We left him 10 minutes. There it is right there. All right. And then the closing song. Oh, I'm always excited about the closing song. Empty ritual. And people aren't coming to Christ. And the power of God is not evident there. Look at Romans in chapter 3. Would you turn back there very quickly? And we're just going to read one verse. I had a whole text here to read, but I'll just read the one verse. Romans in chapter 3 and verse 28. Because this is a summary verse. This is the chapter that says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is the chapter that says there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 28, he summarizes. He says, therefore we conclude. Paul says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Amen. Salvation is of faith. Salvation is not religion. If a man gets religion, he's still going to hell. If a man gets Jesus, he gets salvation. He's going to God's heaven. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Would you turn there? Galatians and chapter 2 and verse 16. You might want to write this down. Second chapter, verse 16. Knowing that a man, listen to this, is not justified by the works of the law. That's religion. But by faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Pretty clear. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. That's the book of Titus. It is not religion. I said earlier that religion is destroying America. Here's what I mean by that. There are people packed into churches, some less, some more, all over this country, and they're hanging on to the straw of religion. And they think that's enough. Oh, I'm a Lutheran. Oh, I'm a Baptist. Or, oh, I'm an Episcopalian. You're lost. If you don't have Jesus, you're lost. No matter how good you smell on Sunday morning, you're lost without Christ. He's the only Savior. He is the only way to heaven. Go back now to Luke in chapter 18 again. Luke in chapter 18. The Pharisees were pompous. They were self-righteous. They falsely thought that their good works and their genealogies, they somehow thought it was a merit system. That's how you get to heaven. If your good works outweigh your bad works, then maybe God will let you in heaven. And the decision hasn't been made yet. I don't know if this is original with me. I think I heard this in the choir somewhere. Jesus did not come to make bad men good. He came to make dead men alive. Amen. That's the truth. That's what the gospel does. Makes dead men alive. You may have grandchildren. And maybe they go to Sunday school and they dress up on Easter and they look so sweet and innocent. They're not innocent, all right? But they look the part. And every grandparent loves their grandchildren. I mean, dawdles over them and hugs them and carries pictures about them, all except Don Bell. He has pictures of horses on his iPad. But he's got pictures of grandkids with the horses. That's what he's got. You know, everybody loves their grandchildren. But I'm telling you, if those little boys and little girls are not truly born of the Spirit of God, they're not going to God's heaven, no matter what kind of church they go to. You might be here this morning and you think, well, I lived a pretty good life. And that sounds like a Pharisee. Let's go back to Luke here in chapter 18. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. I'm sure this was an eloquent prayer so everybody could hear it. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners and unjust and adulterers, or even as this publican. Made him feel good that there was a publican there. Made him feel righteous. I got to tell you again, that is not the standard. There isn't a man on this earth that's the standard. God is the standard. I fast twice in the week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, if I understand the rabbinical law, right? Said, I fast two times a week. I give tithes of all that I possess, everything, all my earnings, all my properties, This man was a religious man. Verse 13, and the publican standing afar off, the publican. The Pharisee, a good man lost. The publican, a bad man saved. Publicans. They were the lowest vermin in Jewish eyes. These were some of their brethren that sold out to Rome as tax collectors. For many Jews in that day, you say publican, they'd stop and spit. This is the worst class of people. They overcharged their brethren, Luke in chapter 13. They took bribes, Luke in chapter 19. They were traitors to Jehovah God and country. A publican. Can you imagine? A publican going to the temple. Jesus is making a big point. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Great grief. Almost an involuntary reflex, beating his chest. Wouldn't even look up to God. He knew he had no right. No right. Repentance plus faith equals righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness. That's how you get it. You can go through life and live with your own righteousness and really think you're somebody, because you'll always find somebody you can find that you're better than. And you're proud and you're pompous and you're religious. And you'll die in your religion. Or you can be like the publican. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Those that needed righteousness. You can't get saved unless you know you're lost. And the publican wouldn't so much as lift his eyes towards God, but beat on his chest. I can hear him crying now, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew he had one hope, and that's mercy. And until you come to that place, you'll never get born again. If you think you're going to hang on to your religion and then sprinkle a little Jesus on the side, that's not how it works. That is not how it works. The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisees were so proud. That's something to what Jesus was referring to when he said it was easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. I don't know what you're holding on to this morning or what you're clinging to. They're rags. What treasure you have that you think you're wrapping your whole life around, it's fleeting. I think of Corrine. I see him. Can you imagine what was going on in that room? He's here. I have to go. And God takes her home. How many men and women from this church congregation slipped into eternity, and it was sweet. The great D.L. Moody at his death in 1899, haven't thought about this in years, he's in a hotel room. He was on his way to preach a meeting, got dreadfully sick on the train. He was in a hotel room, and his son was there in the room with him. And he sat forward in the bed and looked to the window and said, Earth is receding. Heaven is opening. He said to anyone that was listening in the room, if this is death, death is sweet. And he fell back in the bed and he was gone. Man, that's how I want to go. You can trust yourself and your own righteousness and think that's enough. Listen to the preacher this morning. I'm just a man, just a sinner, but I'm telling you what the Bible says. You're in for a great shock at the end of life. The only way you're going to heaven is if you come by way of Christ. Let the other things go. Man, let them go. And turn to God. And be saved. When you repent and you add faith That's righteousness. In closing, Matthew chapter 9. That's what Pastor Josh read for a text this morning. I almost got to it this morning. Matthew in chapter 9. Three words here. I just want to read read these several verses and point out these three words. Jesus has been performing miracles. He's healing the sick. He's raising those that have no hope. It's been a busy day. Verse 27 says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him." They wouldn't leave him alone. "Crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Have mercy on us. "And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him." They wouldn't leave him alone. "And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Have mercy upon us. Believe. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man knoweth. And they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." They confessed him. They told others. Cry out for mercy. Believe and confess him. Take your place as a sinner before God. I'm done now. Listen to these last few words. Take your place as a sinner before God. Cry out in prayer for mercy. Recognize there's no mercy without Christ. And believe God's word, his promise. And you'll have eternal life. That's what you need to do to get saved. And after you're saved, take your place as a sinner before God for today's tasks. Cry out for mercy. And recognize there's no mercy without Christ. And do something great for God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.